Good morning. Come on in. Welcome. Come on in. Good morning. Come on in. Good to see you this morning. Good morning. Good to see you. Good morning. We just thank God for you. Continue to come on in. Continue to come on and share. Good morning. Good morning to each and every one of you. We're glad to see you this morning. I just imagine while I'm sitting here in front of the screen this morning, saying good morning to you as I would when we walk into the sanctuary at New Life Christian Fellowship. And, you know, good morning and how are you doing? And God bless you is just a way of norm for us. And this morning I share with you, good morning. Glad to see you. You're looking well. Glad to see you. Just want to let you know that I'm Pastor Roy Carter from the New Life Christian Fellowship Church, located at 1529 North Wisconsin Street here in the city of Racine, Wisconsin, 53402. Telephone number 262-417-7363. And our email, our website, nlracine.org. And down there at the bottom, you will see a note where you can click on it. And from there, you may go and find yourself being able to email us there. We just want to say good morning to you. We know we're not meeting in the sanctuary still, but we are coming before you this morning that we might share with you, that we might bring you words of encouragement, that we might give you hope and share with you the peace and the joy that the Lord gives us on today. Before I start, you know what I need to do. I need to encourage you. I need to beg you, please find yourself practicing our health initiatives, sanitizing and social distancing and wearing of the mask and you know, going out just for essentials. There's a vaccine that it seems has been approved and is about to be dispensed, but for many, it will take a long time before that's available to them. But in the meantime, we have to find ourselves doing all that we can to protect ourselves and our loved ones. So please do this. Don't get lax. Don't get lazy along the way. Don't feel like things are you know, better. No, daily, the numbers of people dying is going up. It's going up. So let's find ourselves. Just do this. Just do it. We can do it. And then we can trust God to take care of us when it's beyond what we can do. We say thank you to those of you that continue to support us financially in your giving. You know, you can give to us at the Givelify app. New Life Christian Fellowship Church is there. You'll see it. You can give going to our website, nlracine.org. And down at the bottom, you'll see the donate button. We still have people that will mail a check in every now and then. And check in money order, you can mail into the church address that's located there in the caption. And we just say thank you. Thank you for your continued support. There is still work of ministry that must go on. So thank you. Thank you. Now we want to go right to the Word of God this morning. That's what we came to do, to share with you a Word of God. I've had actually some people say, why don't you sing a song or you know, get in front of the keyboard and do that? No. Yeah, I can do it on a certain level and a certain scale, but I know where my lane is and I try to stay in there. So this morning, we're just going to go right to the Word of God. You know, it's Christmas season. It's our Advent season, the time when we look for and wait and anticipate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful gift that God has given to us, to mankind. I love that verse that says, he comes that he might save his people from their sins. His people, us. He comes that God made this way for us, that we could be redeemed, that we could walk in fellowship with him, that we don't have to live a life of sin. And for this, we are thankful. So this morning, we want to look at the idea of the light of Christmas. You know, the light of Christmas. One of the things that I love. I love Christmas time. I love it. I love the whole idea. I can remember being a very small child and my grandmother explaining the whole idea of giving and why we give and all of that sort of stuff. And that has stuck with me all of these many years. I love Christmas time. And then it was one of my mother's favorite times. So, you know, that wears on me too. I love it. I love it. And one of the things that makes Christmas time so enjoyable is the light. The lights that we see at Christmas. You know, you can drive around town and, you know, back a long time ago, people were decorating their homes and lights were just everywhere. And, you know, the light, they twinkle. And not now, because of technology, they can move across the house and twinkle here and change color and do all of these wonderful things that the light of Christmas does. They're everywhere. They are absolutely everywhere, in all kinds of shapes, in all kinds of forms. And it seems that this year, in this year of darkness and gloom because of COVID-19 pandemic, it seems like that light is shining even brighter than it ever has before. When we think about lights, lights are those things that serve to illuminate or brighten up our way, to help us to prevent injury, to help us from walking into stuff, and it warns us of impending danger. You know, if you're walking, most people, when they walk and stumble in darkness, you find yourself stubbing your toe, you find yourself falling and breaking a leg. All of those sorts of things happen in darkness. That's one of the reasons when we walk into a dark room, the first thing we do is turn on the light. Why? Because the light dispels or does away with the darkness. You know, look back in Genesis, in the story that's told of the creation. And it comes out in the very first thing that it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was all over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, check this out, the first thing he said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning of the first day. God made light. And God created this light that it might do away with the darkness. There has to be a separation. And, you know, in scripture, you'll find often when it talks about sin, you know what sin is. Come on, don't play. You know what sin is. Sin is doing wrong. Sin is being less than what God expected of you, what God knew that you could do. Sin comes in, and sin separates us from God. The darkness separates us from God. In John chapter 11 and verse 10, Jesus said, it is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19 goes on, bears witness. It says, but by the way of the wicked is like total darkness. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they are stumbling over. And God understood the importance of illumination, protection, and guidance that a light would provide for mankind. So God sent light. And speaking of the coming Messiah, Isaiah said in chapter 9, verse 2, he says, the people were walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. God sends a light, the light of Christmas. The scripture we want to look at today, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 through 6. And then I want to also go down to John chapter 8 and verse 12. And I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of the Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulder and the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot is used in battle, and every garment rolled in the blood will be destined for burning, for the fuel for the fire. Here we go. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then if we go down to John chapter 8 and verse number 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We're talking this morning about the light of Christmas. The light of Christmas. What do all of those twinkling lights represent? Lights on the tree, lights hanging from the eaves on the outside of the house, lights around the fence. What do these lights represent? They're not just there that they might be pretty. They're not just there that we might admire them, but they are there to point us to remind us of Jesus Christ, God's gift to us, the light of the world. Christmas is this time that we celebrate this great light, the light that will guide us along life's journey, light that is capable, well able to overcome sin. So that's what I want us to look at this morning, the light of Christmas, Jesus Christ, God's gift to mankind. The first thing that I want us to take note of is the fact that the light of Christmas attracts attention. It attracts attention. You're driving along the street minding your own business. Immediately, your eyes are drawn to the Christmas lights when you pass a house. Now, you may not just turn and look at them and intently study each and every one, but they capture your attention. They get your attention. Our eyes are immediately drawn to light. When you enter a dark room and there is a single light source shining, be it a light, a candle, whatever, your eye is automatically attracted to that light. It is automatically attracted to the light. Jesus is the light of the world, and he comes and he came that he would light up the world, that he would show sin in the world and then light a way out of that sin. And it had to be done in a way that people would sit up and pay attention. People needed to be attracted to the light. Look at the birth of Jesus. Here Jesus is coming, and he's God's son, God's only begotten son, not just a son. He is God's only begotten son, God's special son. You know, you imagine those of you that have just one child, that child was special, just special. But here Jesus is God's son, God who could do everything, who is capable of doing anything, and God brings his son into the world in a human form in such a quiet way. He brings him about, no celebrity status, no, you know, all the royal people laying around there and watching and waiting. Didn't have no room for him in the inn. He's born in a stable, no fancy birthing room. He's laid in a feeding trough for animals. That's what he had for a crib in Bethlehem of all places. Not in some big city. And it's done at night when almost everybody is sleeping. Who would have noticed? But when Jesus was born, God sent a light that would attract attention. Because the light of God attracts attention. The angel comes. The angel talks to the shepherds. The glory of God is shining all about them. It attracts the angels' attention. The angels run. They spread the news. It attracts the attention. Light attracts. Then you got the wise men. We talked about them last week. They followed a star that God had provided that they might travel, and it shined it coming in and out until they reached a place where the child was. Jesus is the light of the world, and he attracted attention at his birth, and he attracted attention all throughout his earthly ministry. He attracted attention even when he was up on the cross, even when he was dying for our sin. Jesus attracts people's attention, and guess what? He's still attracting people's attention today. Does he have your attention? Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Now, when he said that, he was talking about the death that he would, you know, suffer on Calvary's cross, his dying. But indeed, he would attract attention. Now, remember, darkness came into the world. Sin came into the world through Adam. God created Adam, had perfect fellowship with Adam. And then because of sin coming in, that fellowship, that friendship was broken. But God, in his infinite love for us, think about it for a minute. Make this personal. God loved you enough to not let us just live in sin, to just wander in darkness. But instead, God provided for us a light, the light of Christmas, Jesus Christ, who came and dealt with sin once and for all, that we might choose to not walk in darkness, that we might choose to walk in the light. Remember, Jesus said, "Whoever follows me," I'm the light, Jesus said, "and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Not only does the light of Christmas attract attention, but the light of Christmas, Jesus Christ, guides our footsteps. He lights our way. He makes it so we can see where we're going. See where we're going. Many times, we wonder why we're in predicaments that we're in life. Why are we in the situations that we are in? Why are we in the place that we're in? And often it's because we made a choice in our life without any light on, so we couldn't see what we are doing. I am so reminded of many, many years ago, I became ill, and because of some lung issues that I had, it was very important that if I caught a cold, I had to fight this cold and get rid of it real quick. And so the doctor gave me some super strong cough medicine. You take a dose of that and it was good. I left it sitting on the sink in the kitchen. And I used to complain about how, it just tasted horrible, but it worked. One night, my mom went in the kitchen for something, and she also had a bottle of something sitting there. And without turning the light on, she said she just took my bottle and just turned it up and swigged it. And she said it was the most horrible tasting stuff she had ever tasted in her life, and she would never make fun of me complaining about how bad it tasted. That only came about because she didn't turn the light on. She could not see what she was doing. And although she thought she knew, that's where many of us live. I thought I knew. I thought I knew. It looked like to me. Well, how's something going to look like to you when you don't have a light on? When you can't see where you're going? Jesus, the light of Christmas, God's gift to mankind, is come that he might light our way, that he might guide our footsteps. Remember when, speaking of the Messiah, the prophet Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, he made mention that in Luke chapter 1, he says Jesus was coming to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the paths of peace. Just ponder on that for a minute. Jesus is the light that comes to guide us into the way, the path of peace. Sounds to me like we need to choose this light that the Lord God has sent to us. I see people all the time that have no peace. No peace. We'll go and what we call this thing, retail therapy. And we'll exercise retail therapy thinking it's going to bring us some peace. And now we done went up and bought up all kind of stuff and spent up money that we really could have used for something better. And we still don't have the peace. Why? Because we have not chosen the light of Christmas. Jesus says in John chapter 12 and verse 35, walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Stop walking in the dark. The light of Jesus Christ is there that it might illuminate our way so we can see where we're going. So we can see the obstacles, so we can see what we need to see and then adjust accordingly. A good driver watches where he's going and drives at a pace where if he has to quickly dart to the left or to the right or stop or slow down or whatever, he can do it as he can see. So Jesus is there, that he might lead us at all times, in all situations. Remember what David said in Psalm 119? He says in verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. How you gonna get through life without a light for your pathway, without a lamp to your feet? But many of us are trying to walk through life without a light. Or better yet, we're walking with our own light that doesn't show up anything. It's bad when you can only rely on yourself and you tell yourself just what you want to hear. And now, think about it. All of us have seen some people. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just saying what I'm saying. And we'd be like, I can't believe they wore that. I can't believe they walked out the house looking like that. Why didn't somebody tell them they look a hot mess? And the reality of it is quite often they look exactly like us. They're identical to what we are, what we would have chosen to do. But when we see it on us, we think we the hottest thing that ever lived. We going out here, we going to show what we're working with. That's because we're looking at it from a messed up light. But when we look at things from the light of Christmas and see as Jesus lights our way, then we can truly walk in the way that he has for us. Solomon said it best. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, when he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and get this, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Don't lean to your own understanding. Why wouldn't I lean to my own understanding? Tell the truth, we fickle. We change our mind. We go to a restaurant, to a fast food restaurant, and we drive up thinking we want a cheeseburger, some fries, and so. And we look and see a picture and be like, oh, I think I want that instead. And then while we place in our order, we change our mind. We are fickle. That ain't a bad thing, but it is. When you talk about guiding your way, we're not reliable. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 6 points out that those who trust in themselves are fools. Those who trust in themselves are fools. There's a scripture, we hear it all the time at funerals in Job chapter 14, which says, man is of a few days and full of trouble. People, we just trouble. It's just how we are. It's just the nature that we are. But when we can trust in the light of the Lord, it's constant and it's sure. It's not going to fail us. It's sure. You know, Numbers chapter 23, a verse that I often say to myself to kind of bring me back to proper perspective of things. God is not human. God is not a man that he should lie. Not being human, that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? You want to follow after this light that is going to illuminate your way, that's going to guide your footsteps. Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 13 said, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He remains faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 tells us. So why wouldn't we choose to walk in the light of the Lord instead of walking in darkness? Y'all know what happens when we walk in darkness. You know how we'll stumble, how we'll fall, how we'll make choices that we are still paying for 10 and 15 years later because we made a choice from darkness in our sin, in our bad way of thinking. We stumbled, we fell. And you know, I fell down my stairs one day going down in my basement. I think what scared me the most was as I'm falling, I'm saying, Lord, don't let me hit my head. Because the floor was cement. It's cement. And all I could think of is if I hit my head, shut up. I can hear y'all talking about something, your big old head. If I hit my big old head, it could damage me. It could kill me. It could cause me to not think properly. It could do all of these crazy things that would mess up my life forever. So as I'm falling down the steps, I'm going, Lord, please don't let me hit my head. Don't let me hit my head. And so when I landed on the bottom, I didn't hit my head. I fell on my behind, on my rear end. And so there was very, very, very little damage there. Wasn't no bruise or nothing. Many of us are following our own light. And it's led us into bad places that have caused us to hit our head. And instead of trying to get out of that bad light, we just going on like we are. Well, it is who I am. I suggest today you accept the gift of God. It's Christmas time. Accept the gift of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of Christmas. Remember what Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then the light of Christmas, Jesus Christ, God's gift to us, it shows the truth about things. The truth about things. Have you ever, I thought about this when I was thinking of it. I said, I don't know if I need to say all that because some people are going to take it to the left. Well, you just go to the left. Ever get dressed in the dark because you didn't want to wake up everybody else in the house? Maybe there's a baby sleeping and you sure didn't want to wake that baby up. Or there's somebody else there. So you got to get dressed in a hurry. And so you're trying to do it quietly, but you don't want to turn the light on. Most of us, if that's our situation, we find ourselves leaving the dark bedroom. But before we go venturing out, we go into the bathroom or into another room and we turn the light on that we might examine ourselves in the light. That's why we discover that, although, you know, we trusted our fingers and we thought we buttoned all the buttons right. We got them all cattywampus and, you know, we thought we had slicked our hair in the right way and it looked a mess. The light shows the truth of how things really are. Jesus says in John chapter 3 and verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Now, let me share this with you. Just like you go into the light to make sure that your clothing, your appearance is on point, come into the light of Jesus Christ that it might expose your sin, not to make you feel bad. Remember, Jesus didn't come that he might condemn you, but he came that the world through him might live. He comes to shine his light on us that our sin might be exposed, that we might become aware of our sin. Why? Because once I'm aware of it, I can change it. He comes that we might be, the light will tell the truth about our situation. It will show us. Many people try to hide their sins. Try to keep things on the low. Try to keep things quiet. Don't want nobody to find out. And as a result, they stay in and struggle with the sin as if there is no way out. But you got to remember, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. His light reveals our true condition and then guides us along the way out. You ain't got to live a sinful life. You don't have to. When I'm talking about living a sinful life, because the scripture makes mention, everybody sins and falls short of the glory of God. But that ought to not never be your way of life. Just how you routinely do stuff. And you don't have to. If you allow the light of Jesus, the gift of God, to come and expose to you yourself. Let him show you your real self. Because Jesus, the light of Jesus, will just be honest with you. He ain't trying to sugarcoat it. He ain't trying to make you feel good. You know, if you ask your friend, you know, you're like, well, how I look in this? Your friend don't want to hurt your feeling. So they be like, well. Now, if you're smart, you'll take that well and say, okay, oh, let me take this off and find something else. But what most of us will do is take that well and say, well, they didn't say no. Jesus will just flat out say no. What you're doing is wrong. He will call you on it and then help you to do what is right. Enable you to do what is right. We're talking about this love that God has for us, that he sent this gift for us. In John chapter 3, you know, it makes mention in verse number 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Go down to verse number 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. To save the world through him. And then he says in verse number 19 that this is the verdict. Light is coming to the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. So I challenge you today. Don't be afraid of the gift of God in the form of the light of Christmas, Jesus Christ. He came to save us from our sins. He came to forgive us from our sins. And I love the thing about the Lord forgiving me. Because the Lord never throws it back up in my face again. The Lord lets me move past what I've done wrong and go on to the place of victory that he has for me. So just because I sinned and I messed up, I don't have to stay there. But I can be forgiven and improved to a new way of life. But that only comes about when I walk in the light of Jesus. God's gift to mankind, Jesus Christ, has come that we no longer have to live in the darkness of sin. To some of you, ain't you tired of living in sin? Ain't you tired of doing what you're doing? Ain't you tired of ducking and dodging and hiding and hoping nobody finds out? And you know all that. Ain't you tired? So the Lord gives us a way out in his Christmas gift to us. His son, Jesus Christ, the light of Christmas. So during this day of Christmas time, I challenge you to accept the gift of God, Jesus Christ. You know, now a gift, I've explained this before. Most of my family, my siblings and the nieces and nephews that live in this area, we generally get together at Christmas time. This year is going to be a different thing for us. But we get together and by virtue of whatever, they come to my house. And then we exchange gifts and they do this thing. The particular ones of them, they know who they are especially. They be like, sit down. They want me to sit in my chair and then they want to bring me my gifts. And then they sit and wait so they can watch me while I open them and see my reaction and my response and all that sort of thing. But in order to accept the gift, that's all I got to do is accept it. All I got to do, when they give it to me, all I got to do is take it. And then it's mine. I just have to receive it. They give it and I take it. And then when I take it, I'm real good about gifts, y'all. When somebody give me something, I'm going to use it. Very seldom will you find me taking a gift and just putting it on the shelf. No, I'm going to use it. Why? Because they gave it to me as a gift that it might enhance, help, better, enjoy my life. So I'm going to use it. God gives us the gift of Jesus Christ, his son, the light of the world. Let's take it and use it. Accept it. Accept it. Now, when we talk about accepting it, what do you mean when you say accepting it? We all sin. To be forgiven for our sins means I just very simply have to admit that I'm a sinner. I mess up. I mess up. How often do I need to do that? As often as I'm aware that I messed up. And sometimes I do it when I didn't know that I messed up, just in case I messed up that I didn't know it. I know that sounds kind of convoluted, but it's reality. There were times we messed up and we didn't know we messed up. I still need to be forgiven, God. And then we come to him, and 1 John 1:9 says, when we confess our sins, admit them, own up to them. To who? To God. He then is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like being clean. I do. Even if it's a day when ain't nothing going on and I'm just going to lay around the house all day, I want to be clean. I got to get in the shower and get cleaned up, put some clean, fresh clothes on. How many of y'all like eating out old dirty plates? And no, nobody that I know wants a dirty plate. If you go get that plate, I don't care, it could be the finest china ever. You get that plate up and look at it, you're not going to just put your food on there when it's dirty. Don't live your life dirty. Instead, accept the light of Jesus Christ. He will forgive us, and then he lights our way. You don't have to walk in darkness. He lights our way. He lets us see where we need to go, so we don't stumble, so we don't fall, so we don't do any of those sorts of things. The light. Jesus is the light. And then remember, we have a job to share what he has given to us. Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. We got to find ourselves sharing the light with others. That why they too then might glorify God, might see. Let me just read it. Matthew chapter 5, go down to verse number 14. You are the light of the world. This is Jesus talking. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, here you go. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Don't hide your light. Let it shine. And God will be glorified. God's gift to mankind, Jesus Christ, the light of Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We praise you for all things. We thank you for loving us and caring about us. You created light in the beginning and separated light from darkness, and then sin at the hand of the enemy moved in, causing a fellowship to break between us and you. But while we were still in our sins, you thought about us, God, enough to make a way of salvation for us, that we can be reconciled to you. Thank you. You were thinking about us when we were not even thinking about ourselves. You were loving us and planning a way when we weren't even mindful of it. And now, Father, that we are mindful, we just ask that you forgive us for our sins. For those things that we have done that are displeasing to you, those things that we have done that were less than what you've expected out of us, because you know what we can do. And many times we allow ourselves to sink into a low place. Sometimes it's because of what we see others do. Sometimes we just do it because it's what we want to do. Either way, regardless, it's wrong. Forgive us, Lord. Wash us clean and make us whole. And as you forgive us, allow us to forgive ourselves, that we might move on from where we are to the place of victory that you called us to live in. Jesus said we can live in an abundant life. You called for us to live there, but the only way we can live there is if we're in a forgiven place. Father, we need your help today to touch the hearts and minds and lives of people everywhere. COVID-19, among other things, is running rampant. But you are greater than COVID-19. You're greater than cancer. You're greater than high blood pressure, high blood sugar. You're greater than any illness. So touch, heal, and deliver according to your will and your wisdom. Do what you know is right. And Father, there are many that are dealing with death, losses of loved ones. We just need you to give comfort and peace as only you can. We know that you not only can mend a broken heart, you'll lift that broken heart up and bring joy, even in the middle of death. So, Father, we call on you to do it now. We can speak nice words and comforting words and all of those sorts of things, but as the song said, can't nobody do us like you can. So, Father, do this. touch the hearts and minds of our government officials everywhere. Allow that they will do what is right by people. Oh God, just get into the government in every way possible. Let your light shine in them. Help us day by day, God, to be what you want us to be. You call for us to be a light in a dark world. Let us be that light. Let us be proud to shine our light in the middle of darkness, that we might show somebody else the way, understanding that the light of Jesus will show us ourselves. And then not only will it expose our sins, but it will lead us to a way out of darkness. Help us today, God, that we can enjoy the love and the peace that you give. You bring us hope. You are our joy. You are our peace. And in this today, God, we rejoice. It doesn't matter what we experience. It doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter the news that we might get. We're able to wipe tears from our eyes. We're able to lift up ourselves to you and then live for the day in what you give us for today. God, thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory because you're not just God, but you're our God who loves us and cares about us. You never forsake us or leave us. Even when we turn our backs, you are right there for us. Thank you. God, be blessed. Be glorified by our living. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. Now you go today and live in victory. Go and love on somebody else. Go and let your light shine. And if you're not living in the light of Jesus, if you've not accepted that gift that God gives, today's a good day to do it. Don't put it off. Tomorrow is not promised. A whole lot of folks that left here this week, they thought they would be here for Christmas. But God saw fit to take them away. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. We love you. God bless you. Continue to reach out to us. Make sure you tag this, share it with somebody, send it on. You can find it, post it later in today. In an hour or so, you can find it on our church website, noracine.org. And if you click on the button that says sermons, you'll find all of the sermons there. You can click back and share with your friends. Re-listen to them. Sometimes I'll go back and listen to something and I hear something that I didn't hear the first time around, because it's all about helping us to be better who God called us to be. I love you. God bless you.